Father, we acknowledge that, Lord, you are far beyond our understanding in all ways. There are many things, Lord, that we will never understand about you and what you do this side of glory. And, Father, maybe not even the other side of glory. And, Lord, we pray, though, that as we stop and consider you and your ways in our life today, that, Lord, you will give us as much understanding as we can. And that, Father, your Spirit will be at work in and amongst us this evening and encourage us. And, Lord, we pray for your work to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Question. Have you ever found yourself saying, it's not fair? This is not fair. I'm sure if we're honest with ourselves, we would admit that we all say this at times, or at least think it. We grow up thinking that life ought to be fair. You know that if you have children. Children are very quick to express when they believe a circumstance isn't fair. Such and such has more ice cream than me. It's not fair, they will declare. Birthday presents, or maybe Christmas presents. Uncle such and such gave you $50 and he only gave me $40. That's not fair, as though everything should be equal. And you try and explain to your children that not everything has to be fair. Life isn't always fair, yet when you grow up and you're an adult, you express the same feelings often to God. God, this isn't fair. All right, we just act like that five-year-old, but maybe the circumstances have changed. And that is because we like things to be fair and we get upset when they're not. We don't like missing out. We don't like someone, say, who is dishonest, enjoying things because of their dishonesty, while those who are honest miss out. It doesn't seem fair. But regardless of how much we want life to be fair, regardless of how much we may pursue to make life fair for ourselves and others, life isn't always going to be fair. There are going to be a degree of unfairness for everybody at some times. And like it or not, some people are going to suffer more than others. Some people are going to miss out on things while others don't. Life won't always be fair. I know the communists, they have tried to make life fair in their societies, but it has proven by history that it doesn't work. Even if everyone has the same type of housing and the same wage and the same benefits, you can't control everything. There's still going to be unfairness. You can't control who gets sick and who doesn't, who has some problems in their marriage and who doesn't. You can't control all the things to make life completely fair. It's impossible. And what can you say to parents when their child's been diagnosed with a terminal disease when your child is completely healthy? You can't say that this is fair. It is unfair in the sense we're not on an equal pegging. You know, when we live in a society where we got lots of food and our trouble is trying not to eat it all and put on weight, when you have millions in other countries who are starving to death, the reality is it isn't fair. You know, we are far better off than those people. There are plenty of times when there is a car accident and the innocent party is killed while the one who causes the accident, nothing happens to them. They're not hurt or injured at all. And you can't declare what has taken place is fair. And so the question is, why is life so unfair at times? Well, you know, if there wasn't a God and you believed in evolution, well, I think the answer is black and white. And that is, it's simply chance and the survival of the fittest. Whoever is strong enough and smart enough and lucky enough to avoid problems, well, then they're going to survive. Yet, If you're not fast enough to move out of the way, if you're not smart enough to avoid problems, if you're not strong enough to overcome a disease, well then you won't survive. It is just simply the survival of the fittest. But it becomes a little bit more difficult when and if you believe that there is a God who is all-knowing and all-powerful, which I, and I'm sure all of you do, believe. We're not here due to natural selection or survival of the fittest. Everything isn't just left up to chance. There is a God in heaven who rules over all. And so that begs another question. If that is the case, if there is an all-knowing, all-powerful God, why isn't life fair? Well, tonight I'm going to try and answer this very big question for you tonight, because I believe God's word tells us why life isn't fair, why all things aren't equal, why some people suffer and others don't, why bad things happen to good people and vice versa. I believe God tells us why. We may not like the answer, but I do believe God tells us why. Now, I do think there are two wrong assumptions we need to set straight first of all. These are assumptions that people make that actually make unfair situations often worse. The first wrong assumption is that all suffering comes from God. Isn't it true when something bad, a tragic accident or a disease or someone loses their job, isn't it often the first thing that people say is, why did God let this happen? Or why did God do this? As though God was the cause of this unfair circumstance. But the fact is, most circumstances, God has nothing to do with in a direct manner. There's nothing in the Bible that suggests that God is responsible for all the bad things in the world. Now, we do know that He's all-powerful and He's all-knowing. And yes, He can stop things from happening if He chooses, but that doesn't mean He makes it happen. There is a big difference between not stopping something that was going to happen happening to actually causing something to happen. And that's something that I don't want to delve into too much, where God can know and He has the ability to stop something from happening, but that doesn't actually mean He makes it happening. But we shouldn't think that He's responsible. He's the one that causes all unfair situations. He does cause some, and we'll look at that. But when you start to blame God for everything, I believe you put yourself in a difficult circumstance and a difficult position. The other thing is, people believe, or some do, that Christians should never suffer unfairly. Where if I live a good life before God, nothing unfair is going to happen to me. Yet when you look at Scripture, you discover it's basically the quite opposite to that. You can just look at Jesus himself, or Job, or David, or Joseph, or Abraham, or Moses, Paul, Peter, Stephen, these ones, and many others. They loved the Lord, they did what was right, yet there was a lot of unfair things happening in their life. Never think that if you read the Bible, if you pray regularly, you go to church every week, you serve the Lord and you live godly, well then nothing bad is going to happen to you. I used to, when I was at Bible college, and I'm sorry for my ignorance in thinking this, but I'd hear how terrible things happen to people, and the only thing I could do to comfort myself that this wouldn't happen to me is, well, I'm going to be a pastor and so God wants to use me, so obviously nothing like that's going to happen to me. Until one of my friends who had just finished college, he'd been a pastor for a year, drowned in an accident while he was just started being the pastor. I'm thinking, whoa, bad things happen to everybody. And so that's not my out, where nothing bad's going to happen to me just because I'm going to be a pastor and God's going to use me. No, bad things happen, and things that seem unfair happen or can happen to anybody, regardless of how close you are to the Lord and how godly you may be. And so don't think, oh, having my quiet time, doing everything right will stop any terrible disease coming into my life, or stop me from having some financial difficulties or marriage problems or psychological problems or any unfairness in my life. Because that's not the case. It is true, staying close to the Lord can help you avoid a lot of the problems in this world, can minimize the effect of a lot of the problems, and certainly can help you through problems, but you can be assured it doesn't assure you of avoiding them. As Christians, we will suffer unfairness in our life, just like others will as well. And so these are two assumptions we should dispel from our thinking, where God causes all suffering and Christians won't suffer. Life can still be just as unfair in our eyes, in our perception, as with anybody else as well. And so if that's the case, what's the reason? Why is life unfair? Why do we suffer unfair situations in our life? Well, the reality is there are a lot of reasons. You can't just say, well, this is the reason. There's just one reason. Because when you look at the scripture, you notice that there are a number of reasons why we may go through circumstances that seem unfair. But what I can guarantee is if you're suffering any unfairness in your life at the moment, I'm sure that the reason will fit into one of these categories. And so I encourage you, if you think life's unfair at the moment, or this part of your life is unfair, this situation you're going through is unfair, ask yourself, well, what is the reason for it as we look at them tonight? The first reason that I see from the Word of God, why some people may miss out or things don't seem as good for some as it is for others, is that we are reaping the consequences of our sin. You know, we're told in Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, often the unfairness that a person thinks they are suffering is not unfair at all. They just don't want to admit that they deserve what's happening in their life. Too often, people don't want to admit that their sinful actions, their selfish attitude, their foolish response is the cause of the trouble that they are experiencing in their life at the moment. And the perceived unfairness that they're going through is actually them reaping the consequences of their own actions. If a person lies all the time, they shouldn't think it's unfair if people don't believe them. Even if they're telling the truth, what they're doing is reaping what they have sown. If a man yells at his children all the time or physically abuses his children as they grow up, if they don't want to have much to do with him when they're older, he shouldn't then turn around and say that he is being treated unfairly. He's reaping what he's sown. If a person steals or murders and then ends up in prison, they shouldn't turn around and say it's unfair that they are in prison. They are reaping what they've sown. You know, God says in Proverbs 6:27, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned?" That's just the natural course of life. You get fire, put it in your jacket, and don't think it's unfair if your jacket catches on fire. All right, there are certain things that happen. He says, "Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" You know, if you decide to go walking with bare feet on hot coals, don't get to the end and look at your feet and see how burnt they are and how sore they are and go, "It's not fair that I have sore feet while everyone else doesn't have sore feet." No, you should have realized there are consequences for walking on those hot coals, and now you have to bear it. If there are others that are smart enough not to walk on the hot coals, and so their feet aren't sore like yours, that's you just reaping what you've sown, and them reaping their good behavior. God's very clear about this. The choices we make have consequences. And the reality is sometimes the reason why we suffer and we don't enjoy the same things that others do, and life doesn't seem as fair for us as it does for others, is because we are reaping what we have sown. Now, it is true we can repent of our sin and we can enjoy forgiveness. And often that can help the circumstances, but usually there is still a natural course of reaping that must happen. Now, I believe if you've truly repented, you will accept that and you will take it graciously, the reaping. And you know, that can help in that course of having to go through that as well. But one of the reasons that life may seem unfair is because we are simply reaping what we've sown. And that should be a lesson for us. If you see someone having to suffer because they're reaping what they've sown, use that as an object lesson to learn for yourself, not to make the same mistakes. Because generally, you will have to reap the same things as them if you do it. Yet also, if you are the person having to reap what you've sown, use that as an opportunity to grow in your fear of God and not do other things where you are going to have to reap more circumstances. Use it as a learning process. Because that's what God says will happen. He's not going to be mocked. And so that's one reason why life is often seems to be unfair. Another one is maybe a broadening of this, and that is because we live in a sin-cursed world. We don't like to think about this, but it is a reality. This is really a broader aspect of the reaping what you have sown. Like it or not, this world has to reap what it has been sowing for centuries. And our generation has to reap what we have been sowing. And the fact is, we are in a sinful society. And like it or not, we all have contributed to this sinful environment. We shouldn't sit back and say, oh, it's terrible that I have to suffer because of this sinful environment I live in. Because the reality is, you and I have contributed to it because we have all sinned. And we still continue to sin. And there is no denying that our sin-cursed world can throw out some things that seem so unfair. But often we think it's unfair mainly because we forget we're a part of the cause. We have contributed to this sinful society. And yes, we may not have to reap directly our sinful actions, but because we have contributed to this sinful world, we may have to reap the actions of someone else's sin. A man gets himself drunk, which is in disobedience to God. He gets in a car, he goes through a red light, and he kills someone. Now they have to reap his sinful actions. Yet there are times when we have sinned, and others have to reap our actions instead of us. The reality is, because we live in a sin-cursed world full of sinners who are sinning constantly, all of us are going to suffer in ways because of it. As I said, there could be an accident because of someone else's sin. Abuse because of someone else's sin. Suffer lies being said of us because of someone else's sin. A disease because of our sin-ravished world. You may have to lose a loved one, or you may have marriage problems. You may have to suffer guilt or shame and feelings of anxiety and frustration because of this. These are all due to living in a world that is full of sin. And you know, as a pastor, I can sit and listen to people that are going through very difficult circumstances. And it is sad when they are suffering due to the sins of others, at this time anyway. But for the greater part, I know that I am powerless to help. I can't make those anxious or frustrating feelings go away. I can't heal that sickness that maybe they're suffering from. I can't change that person's attitude towards them that's making them feel so sad. I can't heal the person who is just, or bring them back to life, the person who has just passed away. And it's at these times I have to remind myself, and I really should remind that person as well, that we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a world that's been infected by sin, and the result of this is decay, is injustice, is brokenness and immorality. You know, too often what we actually really want is we want to live in heaven now. That's the truth. We want to live in heaven now. And we get upset that life isn't like heaven now. And we forget that it's not going to be like heaven because we live in a sin-cursed world. We expect the world to be like heaven when it never will be. So obviously we're going to be disappointed if that's what we're wanting. A cursed world is going to be unfair. Understand that. A cursed world will have sickness. It will have sorrow. It will have injustice. A world that is full of sinners acting sinfully will never be fair. I'm sorry, that's not what we want, is it? We want life to be fair. And it's never going to be fair. We would have reason to complain if we get to heaven and heaven isn't fair. I really believe that. If you get to heaven and there's injustice everywhere, I think we have reason to complain then. But we don't have any reason to complain that a world who has rejected God and chosen to sin and forget about what the consequences of that is, and we live daily sinning, we shouldn't complain that this world is unfair. And what this should do is turn our minds to heaven. And as believers, we should remind ourselves that we have a hope of promises to come. Not now so much, but promises to come when God will make all things right. There will be a day, we're told in Revelation, when there is no more sorrow. There is no more pain. There is no more fear. There is no more death. That means there will be a day when everything will be fair. But that's heaven. But for now we live on earth, our sin-cursed earth, where life is unfair, where things aren't always nice and comfortable. And that should cause us to look heavenward and long to be with the Lord instead of wishing we could have heaven here on earth. And I have no doubt that the Lord does allow sin to take its natural course of destruction, to remind us that we are under the curse, that this is not heaven, and we need to set our affections on heaven and not on the things of this earth. And it will only be when we're in heaven we're able to live in a world where everything is fair. Because for the very first time since the Garden of Eden, we will live in a world that has not been stained with sin, and where all that we have longed for will be a reality. That's a blessing. Isn't it good that this life isn't the end of the story? This is only really the introduction to eternity. We should think of it like that. If death is, in this life is the end of the story, well, then it's not much of a story, really, because it isn't fair for a lot of people. Now, we have a pretty good life compared to a lot of people, but still, it's not that great a life. If this was the end, death, of the story, that would be sad. But when you have Christ as your Savior, this life means very little compared to eternity and the blessings that wait. You know, yes, For some, the introduction to eternity may not have been as nice and as fair as for some. Yet I tell you what, chapter 1, which is the one after death, chapter 1's great. And then chapter 2 is just as great. And then chapter 3 is just as great. And then chapter 100, chapter 1,000, chapter whatever in eternity, it continues from then on. And when we are in eternity where nothing is unfair, the short time spent on earth will be irrelevant. You see, that was Paul's attitude. He went through what we would perceive a lot of unfairness. Yes, it wasn't a level playing field for him. He didn't get everything that everyone else had. Yet he said in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's his attitude. Yeah, I know there's been some tough things, but compared to what I have in heaven, I'm not even going to compare it. I shouldn't be complaining when I compare what I've got looking for me. Did he look around and say, "Well, I don't have what they have. I don't have to go through things that they don't have to go through, and oh, life's all unfair. Why can't I have it as good as others?" No, he thought, "Man, I have been saved despite I'm not deserving of it, and God has all these wonderful things for me." There wasn't any complaining about things not being fair. God had saved him and given him a home in heaven. And that should be our attitude. You think it's unfair? Well, understand that this sin-riddled world that's unfair in many ways, you have contributed to it with your own sin. But be thankful that this isn't the end. But as a saved person, you will have an eternity of fairness and glory that cannot be compared with. And so really, these two haven't been much of a help, have they? Life may be unfair because of your own direct sin or some indirect sin. There you go. But it doesn't always happen like that. You know, as I said, I don't believe God is the cause of all our unfairness, but there is no doubt that He is the cause of some. And that's for a number of reasons. One is, we know, is to bring glory to Himself. You know, Pastor O'Brien mentioned last week the man who was born blind. And the disciples automatically thought that he was reaping what he had sown. They thought that this was due to an individual sin, his own sin or his parents' sin. So he was suffering from his own sin or his parents' sin. So it was indirect sin. Yet the Lord Jesus declared that God was the one behind this so he can bring glory to himself. This is what Jesus said: "Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now you think of it. Is it fair that this man be born blind and have to live to how many years until he met Jesus, while all these other young children grew up being able to see? Was that fair? Well, of course it wasn't. It wasn't like they were on equal par and they had an equal fairness in life. And so you can't say it was fair for him, yet God did this for a purpose, to bring glory to himself and to show his might. And there are going to be times that are unpleasant in our life. Things will happen, and the reason for it is simply to bring glory to God. You know, when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, they were a bit afraid of how he would respond. Yet Joseph had already worked out why all of this had happened to him. It wasn't just bad luck. It wasn't him reaping his own sin. Yes, he was reaping from their sin, but he knew God in his sovereignty was allowing this and making it happen. Because he said in Genesis 45, "And God sent me before you to preserve you, a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He could see the sovereignty of God behind that. Joseph knew that all the unfairness that he suffered, and there was a lot of unfairness, he knew that behind it was God. And God had a good reason for doing this. And one thing that we can be very sure of, since we know from the Scriptures that we have a loving Heavenly Father, if life is unfair and we do suffer some things and God is behind it, either directly bringing it upon us or using people to bring it upon us, we can be sure He does it for a very good reason. God just doesn't do these things for the fun of it. He has a very good reason. And one is often to bring glory to Himself. And I have no doubt there are eternal benefits if we respond in the right way when that is the case. But that's not the only reason. He does allow unfairness into our life also to test the genuineness of our faith. Not so much so He can work it out, He knows, but so we can see it and make changes or be encouraged one way or another and to help us to grow. You know, in Genesis 22, let me read this and you tell me if this was fair. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Was that fair? Now, God wasn't using any sinful behavior of others to fulfill His will. This was saying, God was saying, Abraham, this is my will. I want you to do this. And I don't think any of us would declare this was a fair request in the way we look at fairness. You know, Abraham couldn't turn around and go, well, you know, God asks everyone to do this. It's not like He's singling me out. Everyone is asked to do this, and so this is fair. I'm just like everybody else. No, this was a one-off request. He hadn't asked anybody else. He could have turned around and said, God, this is unfair. You don't ask anybody else to do this, so why are you asking me? And isn't this one of the main arguments we have for declaring that what we have to go through is unfair? We look around us and we see that others aren't expected to go through what we're going through. Others aren't suffering the way we're suffering. Others don't have to put up with what we're putting up with. And so because we can see that others don't have to go through this, we declare it's not fair for us to. Abraham could have quite easily have done that. But what we never stop to consider is that this perceived unfairness could be God's specially designed problem for you, because He knows that's what's best for you. You see, God knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. And He has promised He will never tempt us nor test us above what we're able to. And He knows that not one size fits all when it comes to tempting and testing. And so, yes, you may be asked to suffer in a way that others that you're seeing aren't suffering. And it may seem as though it's unfair for you, but it could be that God, out of His love, has designed something especially for you, knowing that is exactly what you need and it's exactly what you can handle. Others can't handle it. This person can't. That person can't. It won't help if I do it for that person. But this is just for you. Not because He wants to single you out and be mean. It's the opposite. He is so loving, He makes sure it is designed just for you. to help you. God does allow us to go through certain trials of life, even sends those trials our way. He does it to strengthen us. And you know, if you have been through something that you can't see others going through, and so you have declared it to be unfair, if that is the case, maybe you should stop and say, Lord, what has this revealed? Has it revealed that my faith is weak and I need to change and grow? Or, Lord, thank you that I can see that I have surprised myself the way that you have enabled me. And use that as a stepping stone to grow on and grow more in your life as well. But sometimes what we perceive as being unfair is a loving thing so we can grow. But you know, there is one other, and I think this one covers any other things that may be missed of reasons. And that is to show God's ways are beyond us. Sometimes things don't make sense, they don't seem fair, and God does that to show us that His ways are beyond us. You know, often we think that we have to understand why something happens before we can decide if it's fair or not. God, if I can know why you're doing this, then I can come to a conclusion if you're being fair or not. We think that way. But isn't it true? Like, isn't it true that we might see someone acting a certain way or treat someone in a certain way, and we may declare, oh, that is so unfair. But when you know the whole story and you know every part and the reasons behind why they act that way, you realize, hey, that wasn't unfair. That was actually very loving. I can understand why they said those things now. It was for that person's best. But until we know the full picture, we don't realize that someone is acting fairly. And too often we come to a conclusion that something is unfair in our life and God has been acting unfairly because we haven't seen the whole picture. We don't know the whole story. And so we judge God unfairly as doing the wrong thing when it's the furthest thing from the truth. Now, we could turn around and say, well, why doesn't God just show me the full picture so I can know that He's being fair? Why doesn't God reveal it so I can declare Him to be fair? But that's not how it works. Sorry to tell you. We forget that He's the one who's God, and we're not. He doesn't have to answer to us. You realize that? He doesn't have to answer to any of us. In fact, often He chooses not to reveal things to us simply so we will fear Him the way we should. You know, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, couldn't understand all that God did. If anyone was going to be able to understand what God did and declare it to be fair or unfair, would be Solomon, but even he couldn't. And he said in Ecclesiastes, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God does certain things so we can't work Him out. He goes on to say in chapter 3, verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to Him, nor anything taken away from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before Him. God's going to do what He wants to do. If He wants to do something, it's going to happen, or if He doesn't want to do something, it won't happen. But He does this so people will fear Him. Why should God explain Himself to us? Why should He justify His actions to us, so that we can declare Him to be fair and righteous? We are not His judge. He's our judge. What we should do is acknowledge that his ways are beyond our ways, and there are plenty of things that happen in this world that don't make sense and may never make sense to us, yet we can rest in this fact. This fact that we have a loving Heavenly Father that will always do what is right. That's all he says to us. Don't you judge me and try and decide if what I do is fair or not. You just rest in this fact that I will always do what's right. Now, if you can't comprehend that, and in your little, tiny little peewee brain, you can't work out how that is fair, that's all right. Because you're not God. But I am. And I decide what's right and what's wrong and what's fair and what's unfair. And that's all that really matters. You just fear me. Acknowledge that I'm the master and you're the servant. You give an account to me. I don't give an account to you. That's how God wants us to respond when things totally don't make sense. And so, if I was to put all this together, if there is something in your life at the moment and you don't think it's fair, I ask you to check these things. Ask yourself, well, is it actually I'm suffering these things due to my own sin? And it is actually fair? I just don't want to admit it. What I do need to do is repent, ask for forgiveness, and ask God to give me the grace to bear it. Or say, is this seem to be unfair because I live in a sin-cursed world which I have contributed to? And I have to acknowledge that not everything is going to work out the way I want, but I can give thanks that I'm saved even though I don't deserve it, and there will be an eternity of fairness and I can enjoy and look forward to that. Or is it because God has allowed people to work and do things that's in a way that they aren't treating me right, or God has asked me to do things that don't seem to be fair, but he's doing it so that I can grow and I can bring glory to him? And when you realize that there are things that you may have to go through that others won't have to go through, but it's so God can bring glory to himself through you, then it makes it exciting in a sense where this is my opportunity to bring praise to God in a way that others can't. Or if it's just to show how far above he is to us, well then just confess, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing here. It doesn't make sense to me. But the good thing is it doesn't have to make sense for me for it to be fair. All I have to do is trust that you're in control. And I know that you are a good God. And I will trust in that and that alone. You see, when things happen where that we perceive to be unfair, people respond generally in one of three ways. Some get jealous of those that seem to be having things fairer than them. They get jealous, then they get bitter, and then they turn hard to God. God, you haven't been fair to me because I'm missing out. And they turn away from the Lord. Others, they get disillusioned. They think God is an unfair God because of the circumstances they are going through at the moment. Forgetting all that God has planned for them. Understanding that it could be even their own fault why they're going through this, but they judge God to be unfair when it's not the case, and they turn away from the Lord. While others are driven closer to the Lord, knowing he is their only hope. God, I don't understand what's going on, but I understand that you are sovereign and in control, and despite what I perceive as being unfair, I will accept you're in control and you love me. They're driven closer to the Lord. Has something happened in your life and you think it's unfair? Do you know the reason for it? That can often help you to know how to respond. But even more importantly, have you responded in the right way? let's just give up on the hope that life's always going to be fair. We're not in heaven. We're just on a sin-cursed world here to bring glory to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you haven't left us in this horrible world alone, but you have promised to be with us and to help us through the darkest of valleys until we come to meet you in heaven. I pray that we will run to you and cling to you and take all our source of encouragement from you and trust in you sincerely until the day we meet you face to face. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.